TED Audio Collective.
This TED Talk features wildlife ecologist and nature photographer Washington Wachira, recorded live at TED Global 2017.
Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big? Summarize with AI in a click. Writer's block? Release with Canva Magic Write.
Magical.
Stress less and save time at canva.com. Designed for work.
Support for TED Talks Daily is from Progressive, home of the Name Your Price tool. You can say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. It's easy to start a quote. Visit progressive.com to get started. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Like TED Talks? You should check out the TED Radio Hour with NPR. Stay tuned after this talk to hear a sneak peek of this week's episode.
With me here today, I brought something beautiful. This is a feather from one of the most beautiful birds we have in Kenya, the crested guinea fowl. But this feather is more than just that. If you've taken time when you're outdoors to look at the feathers around you, you'll have noticed that there's this huge variety of different sizes, shapes, and even colors. The feather is one of the most astonishing pieces of technology invented by the natural world. And for centuries, this feather has helped birds to keep dry, to keep warm, and even power flight. Only one section of the tree of life can actually make a feather. Among all the world's animals, birds are the only ones who can make something like what I'm holding today. I personally have given them a nickname, and I like to call them the feather makers. It is the major difference between birds and any other animals we have on Earth. And if you can't make a feather, you cannot call yourself a bird. For us humans who are earthbound, birds represent freedom. This feather has enabled birds to conquer gravity and take to the air in an extraordinary way. Don't you sometimes wish you could fly like a bird? Birds are my passion, and I want to change the way each one of you thinks about them. The easiest reason I love them so much is because they are beautiful. There are 10,000 species in the world, and each one of them is uniquely beautiful. Birds are amazing, and this talk is dedicated to all the birds of the world. Indeed, these birds have been part of our lives and cultures all over the world for centuries. And every society has a story about birds. You'll probably have heard childhood stories of different birds and how they relate with man. I personally recently learned that our human ancestors would follow flocks of vultures, and then they would help them to identify where carcasses have been dropped by large carnivores. And these humans will scavenge and eat part of that meat. Birds have been used as brands and labels all over the world. You know the bald eagle? It was chosen as the national emblem for the US because of its majestic strength, beautiful looks, and even a long lifespan. And just like us humans, who've managed to live in virtually all habitats of this earth, birds have also conquered the world. From birds, such as these beautiful penguins that live in the cold ice caps, to even others like the larks who live in the hottest deserts you can imagine. Indeed, these species have conquered this world. Birds also build houses like us. The real pros in house building are a group of birds we call the weaver birds. And this name they were given because of the way in which they weave their nests. An interesting one. Birds also love and dance, just like us humans. In fact, you'll be surprised to know that males dress to impress the women. And I'll show you how. So here we have a long-tailed widow bird, and this is how he will normally look. But when it comes to the breeding season, everything changes. And this is how he looks. Yeah? Birds also, multiple species of them, do love to touch and cuddle, just like humans. And I know you're wondering about this one. Yes, they kiss too. Sometimes very deeply. Some have even learned to cheat on their spouses. For example, the African jacana. The females will mate with multiple males, and then she takes off to find other males to mate with, and she leaves the male behind to take care of the chicks. And birds help us so much, and they play very crucial roles in our ecosystems each day. Vultures clean up our environments by literally digesting disease-causing pathogens. And they finish carcasses that would otherwise cost us lots of money to clear from the environment. A sizable flock of vultures is capable of bringing down a carcass the size of a zebra straight to the bone within just about 30 minutes. Owls help to rid our environments of rodents. And this helps us a lot because it saves us money, we don't lose our crops, and secondly, we don't have to buy harmful chemicals to handle these rodents. The beautiful sunbirds we see in our environments are part of nature's pollination crew, and they help our plants to form fruits. Together with other pollinators like insects, they have actually helped us to get most of the food crops that we depend on for many years. Unfortunately, the story of birds is by far not perfect. They are faced by numerous challenges every day, wherever they live. Top on the threats facing birds is habitat loss and reduced food availability. Birds are also hunted, especially migratory species and ducks that congregate in water bodies. Poisoning is happening to flocks that like to stick together, especially in places like rice schemes. Moreover, power lines are electrocuting birds, and wind farms are slicing birds when they fly through the blades. Recently, we've had the talk of climate change making a lot of headlines, and it's also affecting birds, because birds are being forced to migrate to better breeding and feeding grounds because, unfortunately, where they used to live is no longer habitable. My own perspective towards birds was changed when I was a small boy in high school, and there was this boy who struck injuring the wing and the leg of a bird we call the auger buzzard. I was standing there, just a mere 14-year-old, and I imagined of a human being in a similar situation because this bird could not help itself. So even if I was hardly any biologist by then, I gathered with three of my friends and we decided to house the bird until it had regained strength and then let it free. Interestingly, it accepted to feed on beef from our school kitchen and we hunted termites around the compound for its dinner every day. After a few days, it had regained strength and we released it. We were so happy to see it flap its wings and fly off gracefully. And that experience changed the way we looked at birds. We went on to actually make a magazine, and we called it the Hawk Magazine. And this was in honor of this bird that we had helped within our own high school. Those experiences in high school made me the conservationist I am today. And a passion for birds should especially matter for Africa and all Africans. Because among all other continents, Africa hosts some of the most amazing bird species you can find anywhere in the world. Imagine having a name like Shubil. That's the name of that bird. And there are countries like DR Congo, Tanzania, Uganda, and Kenya who are leading the continent in highest numbers of diversity when it comes to the species. These birds continue to provide the continent with very crucial ecosystem services that Africa needs. Moreover, there is huge potential for Africa to lead the world in avian tourism. The economy will definitely benefit. Imagine how many communities will benefit from groups of tourists visiting their villages just to see the endemic birds that can only be found in those villages. How can we help birds together? There is now a chance for all of you to turn your passion for birds into contributing to their continued survival. And you can do that by becoming a citizen scientist. Citizen science is a growing trend around the world. And we are having scenarios where people are sharing information with the rest of the community about traffic updates, security alerts, and so on. That is exactly what we realized as bird watchers. And we thought, because birds are found everywhere, if we got all of you and everyone else in Africa to tell us the birds they find where they live, where they school, or even where they work, then we can be able to come up with a map of every single species. And from there, scientists will be able to actually prioritize conservation efforts to those habitats that matter the most. Take, for example, these two projects, the African Raptor Data Bank, which is mapping all birds of prey in the continent of Africa, and the Kenya Bird Map, which is mapping about 1,100 species that occur in my country, Kenya. These two projects now have online databases that are allowing people to submit data, and this is converted into very interactive websites that the public can consume and make decisions from. But when we started, there was a big challenge. We received many complaints from bird watchers, and they will say, I'm in a village and I cannot access a computer. How do I tell you what birds live in my home, or where I school, or where I work? So we were forced to renovate our strategy and come up with a sustainable solution. It was easy. We immediately realized that mobile phones were becoming increasingly common in Africa, and most of the regions could get access to one. So we came up with mobile phone applications that you can use on your iPhone and on your Android phone, and we made them freely available for every bird watcher enthusiastic person out there. So we came up with Bird Laser, which is used by the Kenya Bird Map, and also, we have the African Raptor Observations, which is now used by the African Raptor Data Bank. This was a huge breakthrough in our work, and it made us get enormous amounts of data from every birder out there in the regions. With this, we realized that citizen science is indeed very powerful. The reason being, citizen science is adaptive. And we were able to actually convert many bird watchers to start sharing now information with us. When we were starting, we didn't know that birds could be a huge gateway to approaching conservation of other forms of animals. Interestingly, now at the Virtual Museum for Africa, we have maps for dragonflies and damselflies, butterflies and moths, reptiles, frogs, orchids, spiders, scorpions, and yes, we're even mapping mushrooms. Who'd have imagined mapping mushrooms? So this showed us that indeed we've created a community of people who care about nature in Africa. I hereby call upon all of you to join me in promoting the value of birds within your communities. Please, just tell your friends about birds, for we are always inclined to love and care for that which we know. Please spend a few minutes in your free time when you are at work, at school, or maybe at home, to at least look around you and see which beautiful birds are there. Come join us in citizen science and tell us the birds you're finding in the places where you visit. Even simpler, you could buy your child or your sibling a pair of binoculars or a bird book and let them just appreciate how beautiful these birds are. Because maybe one day they will want to care for that one which they know and love. The children indeed are our future. Let us please teach them to love our feather makers, because the love of birds can be a huge gateway to appreciating all forms of nature. Thank you very much.
For more TED Talks, go to TED.com. 20 years ago, Jimmy Wales founded Wikipedia as a place for everyone to share information. But he wasn't exactly sure how to run the site.
How do you put together a system that will generate a reasonable degree of quality and, you know, be open?
Ideas about building communities, online and off. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR. Subscribe or listen to the TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.